D-Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5 The Game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Finnegan, and David Janes here with you, pleased to be joined on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, by Predators general manager Barry Trotz. The Predators, coming off of a 4-1 win in Ottawa yesterday afternoon, take the ice in a couple of hours against the Toronto Maple Leafs. Puck drop at 6, pregame at 5, right here on 102.5 The Game. Barry, I want to start with UC Saros, who has been outstanding so far this season. I know he is not starting tonight. Eustace Onanen will be starting tonight. But Saros has been excellent, as has the defense. And I know that that was a major emphasis for your team this offseason. How has all of that clicked so quickly for you here this season?
Well, I think a number of things. I think the coaches did a really good job of assessing, last year, rejoining and re-looking at how we're going to have to play. What's the strength? UC Saros, what's the strength of our team? How can we fix it? How can we get the puck to our forwards? How can we become a little more structured? They went through all that process all summer. And I went through that with them, and I really liked their preparation. I think getting Luke Richardson into the fold with our group was really a really good add. It's another set of eyes, former defenseman, a lot of respect, there. And then obviously what we did last year, all the way from when we did the Barron for Carrier trade, started building, getting some size on the back end, and a little bit more mobility. Then obviously in the summer, getting Nick Perbix, who's a 6'4", guy that gives us some length, and then obviously making the trade for Nick Hague, who unfortunately hasn't been able to play for us, should be back in the next week or two here, who's a 6'6", guy who's right in the prime years of his career, and just fixing our defense, and then getting a healthy Roman Josi back is the biggest upgrade. And then systematically, the coaches have changed our D zone. Our forwards have made a real good commitment. Our veteran guys have been outstanding in terms of their connectivity on the ice. And all that being said, it allows Juice to be the goalie he can. Last year, I don't care who was in net for the Nashville Predators, you could have Ken Dryden in there, bless his heart, one of the greatest goaltenders of all time. Didn't matter who was in net for us last year. They had no chance the way we played.
Brady Martin did not play yesterday in Ottawa. He was scratched. Andrew Brunette said that Martin will also not play tonight. He said the team has a plan for him. What is that plan? And how do you weigh the benefits of keeping him around and not playing versus sending him back to juniors?
Well, I think that every situation is a little bit different. In our situation, we knew our schedule. We look at our schedule, we plan it. For a young guy like Brady, we said if he's going to play in the National Hockey League in our lineup in the future, he's going to be a top player for us. So you didn't see Brady playing on the fourth line. You saw him playing with Forsberg and O'Reilly. We tried to give him a glimpse at that. We also tried to shield him by playing him in the home game so that Andrew could get the trust of Brady, get the matchups he wants. And then obviously going on the road, we want to continue to have a good start here. We took him out because, for Brady, who's a young guy, I mean, he could go at probably a 80% level and be very effective in junior, but he's going 100% all the time at this level. And so we wanted to play him in two games. So if he slipped, he could go right back in and feel comfortable about that. We went on the road, we pulled him out. We're going to probably have him out, these two games, and then we'll reassess it after that. But he's, he sat with me for a period in the Ottawa game, and we talked about the game and different details. He sat with our development coaches, and as the game's happening, they're talking about different details. So, and just being around and practicing and learning the pro atmosphere is going to be very beneficial for him. So we're going to have to, decide when he goes in next. I don't like young players not playing for very long. We've got four games in six nights, so it's not like he's out for 6 weeks or anything like that. He's out for a couple of days here, so I'm not worried about that. But I do as we go along, we're assessing every game. We're assessing the ice time that he gets, the situations he's put in, and if he's not getting enough of those important situations, then you know at some point we would have him go back. But if he starts to thrive in some of those situations or grow in those situations, then our mindset will be a little bit different. So, we're probably fairly early in the process. I would say, we've got that 9-game window. He's played 2 games, but, how far we want to stretch that 9-game window is really something we'll talk about after the game tonight. If Brady's in or not in the next couple of games.
Talking to Barry Trotz, Predators general manager, Nashville versus Toronto tonight, the Maple Leafs, and our coverage will begin at 5:00 Central. Barry, Jonathan Marchessault had another really good game. He's off to a good start. You mentioned when you talked to Adam and I last for our season preview that Marchessault seems like a different guy. Stamkos, Brady Shea, the same way. He's playing differently as well. I'm curious if you could take us through the process with him on the ice, because he had some things to say about, he thought that the team should adjust and how were they using him and things like that. It seems like all of that is in the past now, but Andrew Burnett's talked about the process, and that seems like it took some time. It wasn't just in training camp. It goes back to the summer.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think Andrew and the coaching staff have done an excellent job reconnecting with those players. It's hard to reconnect sometimes with players after a real difficult year because they had some honest conversations. I think that's the strength of Andrew Burnett is, like, he's been in all those situations. He's a guy that can relate. He's a guy that is easy to talk to. He's a guy that has been in the East Coast League, the American Hockey League, the National Hockey League, been traded a few times and played different styles. So he's got a lot of those experiences that he can relate. And I think him and Marchie connected. I think they had similar games too. I think that's where the connection really hit off. Is Marchie is one of those guys, just like Andrew was. Their super strengths were from the top of the circles into the goal and around the net, and they were just unbelievable players down there. And I think they've made that connection. And Andrew's not worrying about as much of what Marchie can't do, but what he can do and how he can help. And I think Marchie appreciates that, and Marchie's playing really well.
Barry, another thing that you have talked about, laying out what's to come here, is you want a lot of these young players to compete for the spots. And right now we're already seeing that. Joachim Kemmel's been in for a couple of games, rotates out. We mentioned Brady Martin. You've got Ozzie Weisblatt, who I think is going to get a shot tonight. If not tonight, then correct, very soon. Yep. But you've got a lot of guys that you're hoping, I'm sure, will go up and grab a role. But how do you try to evaluate as they try to feel their way?
Well, I think you try to find the best fit. Someone's going to grab the ball with opportunity. You're going to get 2-game opportunities or 3, maybe a 1-game opportunity. You got to make the most of it. And if you notice, like, we're not putting a lot of the players in roles. Like I said, the blend is there. Like, every line, for the most part, other than probably the Hall of Bunting and Marchessault line, who hit it off from day one, all the other lines have a young player with 2 veterans in all 3 lines, the other 3 lines. And even on defense, I mean, we've got Brady Shea and Nick Hague, who are a little more veteran, I guess. But you have Roman Josi and Willsby playing together right now, who, people tend to forget that, Willsby only has, I think, 23 or 24 NHL games under his belt, and he's playing against top matchups at night in and night out. Spencer Stastny's got like 25 games. Barron is probably got 100 and some games, but he hasn't had a full-time role, and now he does. And Litnick Blankenberg, who hasn't played a regular season game so far, did a really great job for us last year. So the depth on our defense is really good. I mean, most of the guys that were finished the season with us, they're either playing in Milwaukee or they're playing in the minors with other teams in the National Hockey League. So fixing our defense. The buy-in of our veterans have done a great job of embracing the young kids and saying, hey, they're going to be part of the future. They're part of the now and the future. And let's go and play. I love the way that we play with a lot of structure. We've gotten good goaltending, and we're hanging in there. And that says a lot. That says a lot for growth. The best thing you can do for growth is have some success, and preparation led to that. The coaches were prepared. The players were very prepared, and we've had some early success. It's only three games in, but we've been able to rack up a few points early to get a little confidence. And if we can do it on the road here on a successful trip, then that will go a long way for the rest of the season.
Barry, we're going to see Eustace Onanen tonight. And I'm curious, with Ben Vanderklok and Mitch Korn, now that they've had him for a while, because it was, what, December of last year that he joined you guys sort of on the run. You were kind of feeling each other out. He's got that frame. He's only 25 years old. He's got some games under his belt. What are some of the things that you guys have worked on with him to take him to another level?
Well, I think, he was more of a blocker because of his size. I think Benny and Mitch have got him to tighten up just some of the, when he goes down, there's some activations that happen, automatics when you hit your knees. Sometimes your hands go down a little bit too low or your stick comes up a little bit. They've worked on the little details to tighten up those little areas where you can get a leaky puck go through you when it shouldn't. And I think they've done a really good job with that. And then the next component they've asked is a little bit more working on even more mobility. He's pretty mobile for a big guy, but even a little bit more explosiveness and mobility. And the last component is really the reading of the game and also, being able to park situations. You get scored on, you got to park it and sort of get back on the horse and get your focus. And I think that comes with more and more experience because the goaltending is your last line of defense. And sometimes they get the most blame when a goal goes through, but there's probably about 10 things that happened before that goal went in. So those are the things that, just being able to park certain things. They're working on the mental part of the game, but he's really done a really good job. We're really happy with him. And I mean, he's got a lot of the tools that the modern goaltenders have. I mean, he's a big, big man who moves really well. He really cares about his craft. So I've seen what Ben and Mitch have done over the years with the goaltending. So we're really excited about our tandem. Juice has got off to a good start, and Eustace hopefully will get a good test here because Toronto's a really good offensive team.
Barry Trotz is our guest on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick. Barry, this is a hometown game for Steven Stamkos, still looking for his first goal of the season, but had a nice assist yesterday in Ottawa. I spoke to Stamkos last week, and he was telling me how it's just night and day for him personally, the way he has entered the season compared to last season when, of course, he struggled to adapt to his new surroundings. You have called him a legacy player and how difficult that transition can be. Are you sensing a freer, looser Steven Stamkos, not just on the ice, but around the rink as well?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think it's any player that has been in one spot for a long time, like Steven has, and it's got to be difficult. I equate it to a marriage and then a divorce. There's always a time of hurt and healing. And I think he's gone through that. And now the Nashville Predators are his team. And he feels he can be, hopefully leave his legacy in the time that he's here in Nashville. And I sense a freer, easier, he's a Nashville Predator now. I think the past is in the past, and he's looking forward to having a really good year. He's had, I don't know how many crossbars he's hit already, but he's shooting well. We just got to get him the puck a little bit more.
Predators general manager Barry Trotz has been our guest on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick. He joins us every Tuesday during hockey season. Barry, thank you so much for your time as always, and enjoy the game tonight.
All right, thank you, guys. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, Barry. We will. 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by Wilson County Hyundai.com. We will bid adieu to Willie Donick here. He has to get ready for the Predators game against the Toronto Maple Leafs on FanDuel Sports Network. You can, of course, hear that game as well right here on 102.5 The Game. Puck drop at 6, pregame at 5 on 102.5 The Game. We will get back into the Titans coming up next. Your reaction, 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 102.5 The Game.
There's plenty of time now, but does Amy realize with the constant changeover here, the damage that's happened to the franchise in terms of the national perception and of what your ultimate candidates are going to think if they're given a choice between this job and another job where the owner doesn't make an annual change of a position in power?
Yeah, I think this is a very frustrating situation for everybody involved, including our owner. This job will be attractive. I have no doubt about that. But at the same time, I want to keep our focus right now on Mike McCoy leading this football team and focusing on the New England Patriots coming to town this Sunday. And like I said, we'll have plenty of time to talk about those things at a later time.
Well, that sounds nice, Chad Brinker. Let's focus on the Patriots. And we'll get to that at some point. We'll have to talk about Mike Vrabel. It's only Tuesday. We have until Friday to talk about Mike Vrabel. But Chad Brinker, ain't nobody talking about the New England Patriots this week. We're talking about you. Derek Mason is so fired up. He's hacking up his lung over there. You okay?
Man, yes.
Okay,
yes,
good.
Let's have some coconut.
So this will be an attractive job, says Chad Brinker. Well, let's talk about the attractiveness of this job. It is one of 32 NFL head coaching jobs. Mm-hmm. You hear that all the time. Well, it's one of 32. That is true. It is 1/32nd of available head coaching positions in the NFL. So that's a check, I suppose. You get to live in Nashville. Y'all like living in Nashville, don't you? I love living in Nashville. Derek loves living in Nashville. So Nashville's great. I guess it depends on how you feel about Cam Ward. If you think that Cam Ward has promise as a quarterback, despite his sluggish start, that's a selling point. Mm-hmm. But outside of that, well, I guess you could add one more. Maybe. You tell me if we can add this one, Derek. Now that the president of football operations and general manager will be hiring the new head coach, there will be alignment in all of this. Brian Callahan was, of course, not hired by Mike Borgonzi. Maybe that's an attractive situation because you know they're all of your, theoretically, mm-hmm. all of your situations will be tied together. But I'll put that sort of like a half because you never know with the Titans if that actually means anything.
Yes.
But how attractive do you really think this job will be, Derek?
Okay. I'm looking at this. Miami more than likely will have a new coach.
Correct.
Cleveland may have a new coach.
You can always make a safe bet that the Cleveland Browns could make a coaching change.
The Giants may.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see. New Orleans.
They just hired a coach.
Arizona just hired their coach not too long ago, too. So those are three teams that could potentially be hiring new coaches, more than likely will be hiring new coaches based upon their season this year and last year.
You said Miami.
Miami, Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
And who else did I say? The Giants, probably. Those three teams may be looking for a new coach next year. So out of those three plus the Titans, which job is more attractive? Or I know your question was, is the Titans job attractive?
Mm-hmm.
If those four teams were sitting there at the end of the year and I went in and I said, which one of these teams do I want to be a part of?
And let's go over them one more time. Tennessee, Miami, Cleveland, and the Giants.
Well, if I'm looking at it, I would tend to believe the Giants may be the better job because their owner doesn't seem to be meddling in anything. Now, is the GM, you know, that whole, you know, thing they did with the trading and assigning of Daniels and not trading, not keeping Saquon? Okay, I get that. But are they a franchise known for their owner just being in the middle of everything? I don't think so. I could be wrong. I don't think that's the case. And plus, they got a quarterback, and they got one of the best young wide receivers in the National Football League.
Mm-hmm.
So they have building blocks that, and even though, listen, the quarterback, Jackson Dart, I'm not saying he's going to be all world. I'm not even saying the Titans should have drafted him and given up the picks. I hope it does work out for the young kid. So they have them a young quarterback, a young receiver. They have a good defense. That's the job I may be looking at first. Miami may just as well, they may have better players, but at this point they may be in the same boat as the Titans. Just the dysfunction within the culture, within the
You heard Tua Tagovailoa's comments over the weekend, right?
So they may be just as bad when you're talking about a culture as the Titans.
Yeah.
And I think the Titans player culture may be better. It's the upper management, what's going on up there. I think the player culture is okay. They just hadn't found a way to win. They still have enough good people. So I will say this. After saying that, I say this. It wouldn't be my first job, but it damn sure, out of these four, it wouldn't be the last on the list. I think, and Trevor said it right, I would be interviewing them more than they're interviewing me.
Agreed.
Because every job isn't a good job. Ben Johnson showed y'all that last year when he didn't take a job last year.
Mm-hmm.
He went back to the Lions. And maybe it probably was because he wanted to get more seasoned in interviewing. And he just felt, you know what, I'm going to go back and I'm going to relearn some things. And then the second go around, I'll be a lot better. But he went back to his former team. So there is every job ain't for everybody. You, whoever takes this job, they better be sure in their mind that they have some type of control of what's going on. Or they know who has the control, how this thing runs, and they're okay with it. Because I'm sure Brian Callahan didn't think he was going to get this quick of a hook. I'm sure he thought they were going to preach patience and cause them, considering the roster. The roster isn't good. So considering the roster, Brian Callahan thought he had the time. He didn't. They didn't give it to him. So what do you think the next coach is coming in? Seeing all this stuff, nothing which he put together. I'm interviewing you. Why you want to give me this job? And what are y'all going to do to make sure that I don't end up like the last few coaches and GMs? Who's the GM at first? I need to know who's making the decision. Is it you, Brinker, or is it Borgonzi? I got to know. Yes, we all talk to this thing, but I got to know ultimately who makes the decision. Is it the GM, or is it the supreme ruler of football? Which one? Because ultimately, somebody has to say, we're drafting him no matter what. That's the guy we're drafting, or that's the guy we're signing. All right? We got everybody's opinion. I listen to everybody. That's the guy we're drafting. So who is that? And then how do you plan on allowing me the time and space to make this roster better, or the players that y'all already got that I need to develop these players? Because I got to develop a lot of players, because some of these veterans won't be here. So I got a lot of guys that I got to develop. So what is the process? What are y'all going to give me? It's not about what I'm going to give y'all. What y'all going to give me to make sure this work?
Jason in Manchester on our text line says, Cincinnati and Arizona could also have head coaching vacancies.
Yeah, you may be right. I thought Arizona just hired their head coach not too long ago.
I want to say this is Gannon's second year.
Yeah, so you may be right. He may be going too.
Second or third year. I'll have to confirm
that. It may be
that.
Second.
It's his third. It's his third year in Arizona.
He may be out too.
He has a record of 14-26.
Yeah, he may just as well
over
be
parts
out too.
Of three seasons. And look, I just watched the Cardinals throw up all over themselves a couple of weeks ago. You know, Kyler Murray is fine. I don't know much about the Cardinals organization. I'm not sure if you would put them ahead of the Titans in this situation. Cincinnati, you have Joe Burrow. and T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase, but you also have an oft-injured Joe Burrow. Mm-hmm. So that's part of the equation as well. Michael in Madison says, if the Giants continue on the course they're on, I don't think Brian Daboll will get fired after this year. So assuming the only jobs open are Tennessee, Miami, and Cleveland, I think the Titans are easily the most attractive situation solely based on the quarterback.
Yeah, because Cleveland, they don't know what they want to do with their quarterbacks. Miami is Tua Tagovailoa, the quarterback moving forward. And then their whole culture, it just seems like, man, you got to go in there. You just got to wipe that thing clean and bring in, like, start building your own pillars, because it doesn't seem like they have much going on down in South Florida. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, if you're looking at it from that standpoint. But then again, you know, yeah, the Titans may look bright at the quarterback position, but upper management doesn't. And then the bottom half of this roster doesn't. And you're going to have to allow me at least 2 years to build this. 2 to 3. Unless Cam with McCoy, he just, you know, that progression speeds up a little bit more, because McCoy talked about it. He things are so fast to him right now. He just needs to slow down. If McCoy can get him to slow down and play, which means McCoy is going to keep the job if that happens. I got that, but are you going to give me the time to? Because this is 3 years. This is a 3-year process, and they've been jerking it around for the last 2 years. Really, they were supposed to have this all situated before they moved in that statement. And I said this years ago when they said, we have given the green light on building that stadium. I said, when they said the stadium is a go, the clock started for you, Tennessee Titans. And you better have a winning organization by the time you move it to that stadium. This is something that anybody should have foreseen. The minute you said, I need some money to build a new stadium, a $1 billion stadium, that's when the clock started, when they said, yes, we're going to give it to you. Yes, we're going to build you a new stadium. That's when the clock started on Miss Amy. You better have a team ready to go. And now you put yourself 2 years behind because of all of this interchanging and firing coaches and GMs and all this other stuff. Now is a hard deadline. And you don't want no hard deadlines in this business. It's a hard one. You better have a team ready to go by the time you run in that. By the time you open up those doors to go into that stadium, she needs to have a winning product.
That feels like a near impossibility. I know NFL teams have turned around in a couple of years.
Yes.
But I have seen nothing from this organization over the past few years that suggests that they will be. And when I say competitive,
I don't even want them competitive. I want them winning. Damn, competitive. Competitive is for losers. Being competitive is for losers. Because you can be competitive and lose every game.
I mean by competitive.
No, I'm not getting on you.
I know, but what I mean, to be clear, what I mean by competitive is a team that you are actually willing to sit down and watch on a Sunday.
That you know can win.
And not turn off the TV and go, I am never getting those 3 hours of my life back. On my deathbed, I will say to myself, man, I wish I had spent 3 more hours with my children instead of watching the Titans lose to the Raiders. That's all I'm asking for.
Yeah. And
I'm
sure that's what every other Titan fan is asking for as well. Just get us through the game where we have hope. But again, in this business, being competitive no longer is, for me, the priority. Because that's what the league wants. They want everybody competitive. Why do you think they give the worst team the first pick? And the second worst team, more than likely, the second pick, unless they've done some things with trades. Because they want everybody 9-7, 7-9. Okay? So, yes, competitive is okay, but is that winning football? I want you to win. Tired of being competitive. Competitive gets you nowhere. It doesn't get you a medal. It doesn't get you a Super Bowl. Win. That's what gets you Super Bowls. Just win. We were competitive in 99. We won a bunch of games, but we didn't win a Super Bowl. Being competitive no longer is just the end-all, be-all.
Well, it depends.
You got to be a little bit more.
It depends on what your definition of competitive is, because everybody has a different definition of competitive. I know Willie's not here to defend himself. Mm-hmm. I'm going to maybe put words in Willie's mouth, but we're friends, so it's okay. When we talk about the NHL and being competitive in the NHL, to me, the definition of competitive is, can your team legitimately win a championship this season? That is competitive. That is my definition of competitive. Can you win the Stanley Cup? It's a yes or no question. And if the answer is no, you're not competitive. I think Willie's definition is, if you can make the playoffs. Are you competitive if you can make the playoffs? I disagree with that definition. When it comes to the Titans, I am willing to say, by
so
the
you
time
really set the bar low.
Well, with the Titans, I'm willing to say, if by 2027, can you still be in the hunt graphic on the broadcasts in week 14? Like, you don't have to be in a playoff spot. But when they say, like, division leaders, wild card, in the hunt, can the Titans be in the hunt graphic? That's all I'm asking for. And that seems like it's so far away.
It is, Adam. But you know, they never, when they talk about winning teams, whether it was the Patriots, Indianapolis, the Lakers, Boston, who else? Hell, Florida. Panthers that just won the championship.
Two in a row.
They don't talk about them as being competitive. Those are winners. You don't say winners are competitive. Winners are winners. Competitive is for everybody else. Y'all all be competitive. I'm winning up here. Do you ever hear them talk about Kansas City Chiefs being competitive? No, because they win championships. They don't say every year, Kansas City's competitive this year. They just want to be competitive. No, they want to win championships. That's what they talk about. We're relegated to talking about being competitive. I get it, because we hadn't won around here in some years. But when Vrabel was coaching his team and they was winning, did they ever talk about being competitive? Thank you. Thank you, Vrabel. He didn't talk about being competitive. He wants to win.
That gets me every time.
That's what it's about, winning. Competitive means we ain't got a chance to win. But because it's the league and we got players, then yeah, we're going to be competitive. But at the end of the day, we're going to lose.
I just have to say.
I like how you threw that.
That was great.
Yeah, that was great.
Whenever I say probably not in my daily life, I say it like Mike Vrabel. Like if my wife asks me about something, I'll go, probably not. And she has no idea what I'm talking about. But
Now she does,
but I can't hear it. I can't unhear it, I should say. 615-737-1025 will take your reaction. Robert in Spring Hill says, Derek and Adam, you are now the person hiring for the Titans. Who do you hire? Since you have a lot of experience in professional sports, meaning Derek, and professional sports coverage, meaning me, who do you want the Titans to go after first? Well, Robert in Spring Hill. Coming up next, I will tell you who I absolutely, positively do not want under any circumstances the Titans to go after for this coaching opening. 615-737-1025. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025 The Game. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Predators pregame coming up in roughly 15 minutes. The Predators 2-0-1 on the season. We'll look to make it 3-0-1 or 2-0-2. Keep that point streak going against the Toronto Maple Leafs, puck drop at 6. And as I just said, pregame at 5 right here on 1025 The Game. We will be back to our regularly scheduled 3-6 tomorrow. Jonathan Hutton will join us at 5 o'clock. Silly Underdog picks at 5:20. Clark Lee will join us at 4 for 4-0 Clark ahead of Vanderbilt's matchup this weekend against LSU. By the way, Vanderbilt favored in that game last I checked. The first time in God knows how long that Vanderbilt was favored against LSU. The line at the moment is Vanderbilt minus 2.5 at First Bank Stadium. So we will talk to Clark Lee tomorrow at 4:00/Clark. Now, before the break, Derek, Robert in Spring Hill, we read his text message asking who would we want the Titans to go after first as the Titans' next coach. And I'll be honest with you. Mm-hmm. I haven't put a lot of thought into that yet. We have a lot of time to discuss this. And I will put more effort, more research into it over the next weeks and months. But I'm here to tell you right now, Derek Mason.
Yes.
I want to eliminate one potential Titans coach from consideration. I heard Big Joe Dubin this afternoon. He wanted to plant his flag at midfield at Nissan Stadium. He wants Arthur Smith, former Titans OC, current Steelers OC, former Falcons head coach, to be the Titans' next head coach. I am going to do the same thing, except I'm going to plant my flag on one coach who I want nowhere near the Tennessee Titans, and that's John Gruden. To quote my four-year-old son, when I ask him to do something he doesn't want to do, no, 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 no. I am absolutely not interested in John Gruden as the Titans head coach. And John Gruden's name is out there. He's working his way back into the NFL ecosystem. Mm-hmm. He's working for Barstool Sports. We know that John Gruden, he has an engaging personality. We remember him from his days calling Monday Night Football. But to borrow a phrase from Cam Ward, if we keeping it a buck, let's just be real. John Gruden was caught with emails in which he made racist, homophobic, and misogynistic remarks. I believe he is in litigation with the NFL right now. That's a whole nother thing. And I want to be clear about something. I am all about giving people second chances. So before you text in and say, Adam is canceling John Gruden. First of all, he's not canceled because he's back. Mm-hmm. I am not canceling John Gruden. First, unless I'm not mistaken, I don't know if John Gruden has shown that he's done anything to improve himself.
Mm-hmm. He's just been gone.
He's just been gone. Now, he may have done it behind the scenes. I don't know. But is often the case with these things. I want to see growth. Mm-hmm. I want to see you show me that you have learned from your past mistakes and you won't do them again. As far as I know, I want to emphasize this. As far as I know, John Gruden hasn't done that. Okay? So that's number one. Number two, the last time he coached, he wasn't very good at it. He was 22-31 with the Raiders between 2018 and 2021. And yes, I know he won the Super Bowl more than 20 years ago. And to this day, you can go down to Tampa, Florida. I spend a lot of time in Tampa, Florida. My in-laws live in Tampa, Florida. You can go down to Tampa, Florida, and they will still debate whether John Gruden won that Super Bowl with Tony Dungy's team.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I know that he is a popular choice. When I've read all of these lists of coaches who the Titans could hire or should consider, John Gruden is on those lists. Not interested. And frankly, I don't think he's going to be a candidate for this job, but I'm just going to tell you right now, I want nothing to do with John Gruden as head coach of the Tennessee Titans.
I'm not sure.
No groomers. No groomers, Vols fans. I want zero groomers.
You don't want to be nicey. That's what I'm hearing.
No groomers.
I don't think the Titans, you know, you can't add more fuel to the fire. There's already a fire going on. You bring in Gruden, there's the questions and all this other stuff. You have your past and everything else. And you got to explain why you hired him based upon his, you know, the things that he said. Listen, yeah, they were leaked, but he said them point blank. He wrote them down. I don't care how they were released. Those were his words via a text or email.
Emails.
Those were his thoughts, okay? So whether they got out by accident, somebody leaked them, it doesn't matter to me. He said it, okay? But that's neither here nor there. For the Titans, they need to hire someone that has already did this. And I do hope that Mike McCoy can right this ship. I at least get it sort of, you know, turned or starting to turn around. I hope he can in 11, 12 weeks, 13 weeks, whatever it is. Because he's the type of coach that I think you hire. A guy that has done it. I don't want him to have offensive control, play calling. No, I don't want him to have that. No, I want him to hire someone that does that, that has done it on game day. I don't want you to do it. You know why? Because you hadn't did it in a few years. So I don't want you to do it. You be the head coach. Though that is your title. We tried this, you know, head coach slash offensive coordinator, didn't work out. Okay? I need you to just be head coach. That's it. So this is your trial run right here. You get it. You get an opportunity. First crack at the job. Let's see how you do. I don't need you to call plays. Keep Bo Hardigree as play caller. I just want to see how you do as a head coach. Now, if we do hire, you can keep Bo Hardigree or you can hire someone else. But I do not, and I repeat, I do not want you calling plays. Just run my team. That's all I want you to do. That's what I want from a coach. I want a guy that has been in this position before, that understands both sides of the football and special teams, but can galvanize, that can rally his team, not by play calling, but by just knowing and feeling the heartbeat and the pulse of his locker room. That's what I want. That was John Harbaugh. Okay? That was Jeff Fisher. I know Jeff had experience. He was a defensive back coach, and I think he may have, I don't know if he ran a special team or whatever. I don't think he was a coordinator before he came a head coach. I could be wrong at that on that. But that was somebody that knew both sides. Like, he knew a little bit of special teams or defense, definitely. But he hired people. He outsourced for offense. And he built the team. Built the team on one premise and one premise alone. We are going to be hard to play against. We are going to be physical and disciplined. That's what we're going to be. And intelligent. That's what we're going to be. They need a coach that's going to implement that. I don't necessarily need him to be a defensive guru or an offensive guru. We tried that. You see how it worked? Didn't. Just get me a coach that can coach a team and have him hire or outsource his other guys.
Neil on our text line says that John Gruden's 22 wins with the Raiders the second time around are 18 more than Brian Callahan had. So,
yeah, you got a point there. But has Gruden been gone too long?
One texter says, why are you mad about someone's opinion as long as he's not acting on them? He's done nothing legally wrong. You just don't agree with his opinions. How does someone's thoughts affect you?
Again, that's what you're thinking. That is the most idiotic, and I'm going to say this, that's the most idiotic thing you can ever text somebody.
John Gruden would be an ambassador of the organization.
Exactly. He wrote him down on a piece of paper. It doesn't matter if he didn't leak him out. Somebody else did. But those were his thoughts. That's how he felt at that time. How you tell me that doesn't matter? That doesn't make any sense. It's like, gosh, it's not. I'm not comparing him to saying, oh, I'm going to murder somebody. That's not what we're saying. He said some things that wasn't cool. That's how he felt. We hope he's changed. I didn't say he didn't. And I didn't say they couldn't hire him. But I said they would have to explain all of that stuff in the midst of this organization being on fire a little bit already. Do y'all want that too? And what if it don't work out? See, I'm thinking long term. I'm not thinking right about now.
Yes. Well,
man,
I got everybody fired up at the end of the show.
Thank you.
That puts you in the proper mood for Predators hockey. The Predators take on the Toronto Maple Leafs. Puck drop at 6. Pre-game starts in just a matter of moments right here on 102.5 The Game. We will be back full 3 hours tomorrow from 3 to 6. Clark Lee, Jonathan Hutton. Silly Underdog Picks. We'll do it all 3 to 6 tomorrow right here on 102.5 The Game.
Be love, loving your people. Have a safe, blessed, and wonderful day. I love you. The team love you. And to that texter, I didn't mean that. I apologize. Believe me, I really do apologize.
He's lying.
I'm about nothing but love, so I apologize. But I got a little bit heated, but I apologize. But you know what? As I say every day, you hear that song. Don't you forget about us. Please don't, because we won't forget about you, because we will be back tomorrow at the same time, same station. Peace.
heard about me.